What's up, everybody, and welcome into the Sunday Night Barncast Live. Welcome on in. It's Kyle Rush, Daryl Dapper, it's Christian Rao, and we're ready to have some fun. We're going to talk all fall camp storylines from last week, what we expect to see this week, and maybe even kind of talk through the schedule. There's a scrimmage on Friday. It'll be the first scrimmage of the fall camp, and we'll get to talk to Golish afterwards, like what we hope to see from that, all that good stuff. We're gonna jump into and have some fun. That, my man, we had practice together. That may be the first one we've done together, isn't it?
It is. Breakfast and practice. What a monumental day. Let's go.
Byron's for breakfast. It was like, yes. You know what it was? That was our mock game day. We had a mock.
What'd you have for breakfast? Come on. Tell me.
How about this?
Let me be involved a little bit.
How about Kyle and I order the exact same thing without trying, no prompting? Yeah. A little bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit and some of those great potato wedge things on the side, fried potatoes.
Yeah. We went to Byron Smokehouse, which is a staple in Auburn, and had breakfast. And then we went over to the facility and got to watch practice. And it was like we've done it for 100 years, Dap. We did. You took offense. I took defense. We got together after the fact, put our notes down, and it was a lot of fun. Christian, from the outside looking in, and I don't want to say outside, but you know, you're obviously not in Auburn. From all of the Auburn content that you've been able to absorb from the week and everything, like, I'm curious, what's your take on, like, the most impactful storylines? Like, what's the big thing that you're noticing across multiple channels and things like that? Like, what's the big talking points that you see?
Yeah, well, other than being in a spa, right, Daryl? Like, that's obviously the biggest thing. But the fun part about it that I've noticed, like, through all the videos I've watched and, you know, everything gathering and getting ready for, you know, coffee and cornbread, things like that, would be that the pacing. It doesn't feel like the first week of fall camp when I watch these videos. It looks like this practice, and you guys can probably attest to it a lot better than I can because you were there, but it looks like the practices are in mid-season form, where the pacing is just so quick. They're very serious about not wasting any reps, and that comes clear on the videos. That comes clear on the practice tapes, whoever's releasing them. And I think that's fascinating. We can get into player-specific things, but I think an overall viewpoint is that right there. That's the biggest takeaway that I have.
Dap, let me ask you this: Who is practice harder on? The players or the grad assistants?
The grad assistants, because all the things that they have to do from a
so
drill perspective.
Pressure.
I want to give you a snapshot of something that this may not mean or equate to another victory, another win during the season. I understand proof of concept, so I'm not trying to overplay this, but I want to give you a little bit of a snapshot or microcosm of difference in coaching staff, something that I saw and forgot to mention Saturday. So I'm watching this drill get run by the wide receivers, and it's Deshaun Spencer on the inside, and I can't remember who was on the outside, maybe Turner. And the drill is Deshaun is to run a post or just a little 10-yard slant, and he's to take that defensive back inside with him, and then Turner runs a flag behind it to the outside. Spencer did not run his route to the depth that the coaching staff wanted, meaning he stopped 3 yards short of the defensive back. Now, that could be, I don't want to get called for offensive pass interference. You know, you don't want to make contact, but he did not run that drill deep enough. They stopped. They made him do it again. I watched the exact same route combination last year with Perry Thompson playing the role of Deshaun Spencer, and he stopped 5 yards, kind of jogged into his little route. It just kind of did a walkthrough, and they continued on with the drill. That may not mean a hill of beans when it comes to the fourth quarter against Georgia or whoever, you know, late in the game where you got to get a W. But I'm just telling you, little things matter in the intricacies of drills and how you run them. I watched it, and I saw it with my own eyes.
Hey, it may mean nothing, and it may mean everything.
Yeah, I think
it could mean everything.
I think it does. Yeah.
Dap, I don't know if you feel this way, but sometimes I feel this way. Is like it's so fast paced that there's a little bit of anxiety of, are you going to be in the way or not?
Well, like, I almost got trampled twice after they did the parade where they huddled up.
I didn't mean you specifically. I just meant anybody. Well,
yeah, but I mean, I'm not as quick as I used to be back in the day where I could take that corner and turn that
short.
But I'm trying to film and I'm trying to get videos and I'm trying to take notes on my phone. I mean, I just felt like going back to the old school Brad Law black and white scribe where I just had a notepad. But they huddled up and said, you know, kind of in the center of the indoor facility. And next thing I know, here they come. I mean, I got video of it, thankfully. And they're like, get out of the way, guys. Get out of the way, guys. You're going to get trampled. So, yeah, there's pace. There's purpose. And there's preparation. Three P's is what I see with this staff. Again, I want to reiterate because I am jaded. And I'm not going to buy into the hype machine until I see it with my own eyes in wins and loss. I am not saying those things equate to wins, but they bleep and sure equate to losses if you don't do them.
Good point. I like that.
That's a bar.
Yeah.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Just AU shirts. You can even put bleeping. No, I'm just joking. Yeah.
Happy to hear Dap didn't rob Byron's like the AI cornbread gangster video claimed. He did. That's a throwback. I need to re-download that.
That is throwback.
Yeah, that was a huge throwback.
Hey, if you want to see Jacob J in person, didn't he do a drink? He did a drink review with you guys.
He came on over, a members only, came over, did a drink review with us. It was awesome. It was a great time.
That's pretty cool. And I want to just say strawberry milk at 9 is a freaking criminal, but I'm just going to let that go.
It's fallen fast, too.
Barn Booster says, is Auburn's defensive front giving the O-line trouble? Is the O-line legitimately winning some of those battles? So you got to remember that Saturday was the first day in pads. So, and then we only get to see the like individual drill section. So Saturday would have been the first time that I think there you could say one way or the other, if somebody's winning a battle or not. Don't have a ton of information from the closed practice part of it. The only thing I haven't really heard much from the running game other than they just love everything Omar does, love everything Jeremiah Cobb does. And the offensive line is, you know, they're working on it. That doesn't necessarily have to mean it's a bad thing. So I can't answer that question. With a ton of specificity.
Yeah. The defensive front was something that was a question mark. I'm obviously going into fall camp, going into spring, picking up people in the portal, not as much as the offensive line was. So at this point, it was hard to gauge or hard to judge. I just think the defensive line will be slightly ahead of the offensive line, and that's not a bad thing. I think this defensive line is going to give a lot of offensive line some trouble.
Sure.
Which I wasn't expecting, by the way. I thought the defensive line and defensive edges was going to be one of the concerns heading in, especially the edge room. But I'm more confident now with this defensive line. The rotation this last month has really changed it. Cody Sigler has been one of my breakout players, one of my fastest risers. I think, you know, obviously Dallas Walker, I think Malik Autry, I think those guys can be really a fun rotation. And if they do exactly what they need to do, which means pick up double teams, let those linebackers flow freely, this is exactly what you need for Auburn's defense to work perfectly. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I've grabbed so far with the defensive line. And then, hey, look, if those happen too, a guy named Jared Smith, who's also having a really good fall camp, can start getting in the backfield more too. So I'm very happy with what I've seen.
I'm hearing some good things about Darren Smith too. He's kind of coming on a little bit. To me, it's almost like the defensive line just kind of has to hold the line. literally, you know, that old war cry about just, you know, hold the line, because the back end is so elite, in my opinion, linebackers and secondary, just do your job and just, you know, basically, you don't have to be flashy. You can be average, honestly. I mean, I'm not saying the edges can't be. The edge is going to have to get pressure. But just do your part, play your role, and I think the back end's going to really cause some damage. And I want to just say one other quick thing, because I don't want people to panic or think that something is more than it is. There's a lot of topic and a lot of conversation about what happened while we were live, when me and Zach were recording, and something happened at practice that we couldn't see and I couldn't say it. Let me just say this. It's not a big deal. It's not anything that anyone should get either excited about or worried about. It's no injury. It's not anything earth shattering. It's just a funny little inside thing about one of Zach's favorite players. So no one needs to worry or put too much thought.
It's kind of a meme.
Yes. It's kind of a meme. Yeah, right.
Exactly. Okay. So Dap, you were there Saturday. Christian, you've seen the reports. I think one of the, I would say top three maybe storylines of fall camp has been Deshaun Spencer. Is that fair? Top three, yes. Maybe?
Yeah.
And will he start in the slot? And was he so good in spring that it made them to where, hey, let's try getting him on the field right away. Let's move Chaz to the outside. And there was some back and forth, like, you know, one day, most of the days, Chaz was on the outside, Deshaun Spencer was on the inside, and then Saturday, it kind of flip-flopped, where Chaz was working more back into the slot, and Koger was now on the outside. Dap, what do you think the biggest takeaway is from that exchange right there? What do you think the biggest takeaway is?
They have a tremendous amount of faith and belief in Spencer. They think the moment's not too big for him, but they just think there are three guys that are a little bit more polished and a little bit ahead of him, period. It's if you want to put your best alignment out on the field, it is in their minds. And in, again, I can't tell because it's not a scrimmage, but I can tell in route running, high pointing the football, body control, Koger, Singleton, and Nimrod are your three, and those three need to start. Now, if you go into a four wide receiver set, I think you'll see Spencer on the field as your fourth wide receiver. I wouldn't put anything else into it other than they are very high on Spencer. He's going to push two of those three receivers all year. They just like where the other three are a little bit more, but Spencer is very, very difficult to take your eyes off of. And,
Christian,
you know, you kind of, just my opinion.
Christian, you kind of feel the same?
Yeah, a little bit. I do think regardless, I think Nimrod would have been pushed to the outside. I think his physical traits are better for the outside. So even if they liked, you know, what they didn't like from Spencer, if they liked from him, I think regardless, I think you would have seen him go out there. So I don't know if that one's exclusive in my opinion. But Spencer, I mean, I think they rewarded him for what he did in A-Day and said, hey, you're going to run with the ones to start the fall camp, because that's the last time we saw you in an actual type of scrimmage play. You were successful. You were the best wide receiver out there. We're going to reward you for that. What I'm more interested with him is how he competes, maybe not with Koger, but with Christian Neptune, actually. I think Christian Neptune and him are an interesting thing. Last year, Christian Neptune was fifth in receiving yards for South Florida, but he was tied for second in receptions. So a lot of those fast plays, those fast pacing, those throws to the line of scrimmage were gone to Neptune, helping with the momentum, helping push down the field. That could be a role that turns into Sean Spencer's. So that is something that I'm paying attention to.
The slants, guys, I'm just going to tell you, as much as Kyle loved the fade, yeah, I have been screaming for years, why don't we throw a slant?
Middle of the field, baby.
Middle of the field. And this receiving core has some guys that run elite and have the potential to be elite on slant patterns. And I'm not just talking about catching and getting your first down. I'm talking catch it at eight and house it. The yards after catch, they have that capability. So route trees look different. Keep in mind, this is the first time they're not running routes against air. They DBs were covering and that kind of thing. So I think that also, and Spencer still shined. So it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. I just think the other three are slightly ahead of him.
I don't think any of those are wrong answers whatsoever. I think, though, it says so much about Chaz Nimrod. You know, the talk of this wide receiver core coming in, it was when you're talking about the headliner, who are we talking about?
Singleton.
And I think the headliner to the coaching staff is Chaz Nimrod. we can put him in the slot. We can put him on the outside. We can, and I think another thing is like they're so stationary, like their offense typically from the outside receiver point, because they go so fast, is stationary. So like your right outside wide receiver stays out there. Your left outside wide receiver stays out there. And then you kind of move the guys around on, in the middle. Chaz, they want to put him all over the field. Like it's like Chaz can do anything, and we're going to try to find mismatches anywhere on the field. It's not just, we're not pigeonholing him to one particular spot. We're going to move him all over the place. I think that's been the most eye-opening thing to me, is the value that this staff has put on Chaz and like all the different things that he can do in this offense.
Well, Cody Burns called him an NFL receiver, future NFL receiver.
Let's go.
Period. He was asked about That'd Singleton. Nice. He was asked about Koger. He was asked about Sam Turner. He was asked about Spencer. He specifically said Nimrod is a future NFL receiver. Auburn hasn't had – look, this whole 1,000-yard receiver thing that I was so caught up in for the last 3 months, I have completely put that away. I don't care, because they may have two or three guys that can play in the league at some point. So if that's the case, spread the wealth. And they – again, I want to see it. I want to see it on Saturdays. But there is – they are already at – a set six in the rotation that is no-brainers that they feel really comfortable with.
Who do you think those six are?
All right. Singleton, Nimrod, Koger, Spencer, Neptune. And I'm going to say either Brian Williams Jr. or Sam Williams. Turner.
It's Brian Williams Jr.
And then Turner probably seventh if there's an injury.
Right now, I think that's dead on.
Yeah.
Yep. And they said they wanted to get to eight.
Only because, and see, I completely read this wrong, and I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to clarify this, because I don't mind going back and reassessing. I hope I didn't mislead anybody in previous shows when I said eight's the number. Not that they want to play eight. They want to play six, but they want to have two in reserve in case of injuries. So if this isn't a case of we're going to get eight on the field during a game. No, they just want to focus on six. And if somebody goes down with an injury, seven, eight steps up and takes that position.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. They just lost Nimrod for half the season last year, so they want to make sure they have the depth to give that. I mean, last year, 10 players on South Florida had at least one reception. Seven of them had double digits. So if they can
10 receivers or 10 players?
10 receivers.
See, that's unbelievable.
Ten receivers had at least one. And seven had at least 10. I think it was 11 or more, seven receivers had that. So pretty funny on that.
That's impressive. I mean, that is exactly the kind of depth and spreading the wealth that you want. And it makes it very difficult for defensive coordinators to key on a particular set of receivers. And again, remember what they're going to be able to gain in acumen going against Durkin's defense every day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then like you think you're getting seven with double digits, you take one away to that six number you're looking for if you're assuming Nimrod's healthy. So I think that's that type of philosophy they're looking for, is having six receivers with double digits. So like that.
So along the same lines of this, okay, we just mentioned earlier, there's been almost zero talk about Keyshawn Singleton that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And we don't get to see all of practice, so – what little we see is just a lot of guys going through motions against air. Like we're not seeing a lot of one-on-one battles and things like that. He's been steady. He's out there every single time. Like he's the first one on the outside, on the right side, but there's not been a ton, at least from my ears, not a ton of talk about Keyshawn Singleton so far this camp. Is that good? Bad, or like Zach says, is that important or just interesting?
Christian, I'm gonna let Christian. Yeah, you go first, Christian.
I'm gonna say it's interesting because we did hear him in like a media scrum a little bit, and when he talked, it just seemed like he was just excited for fall camp. He was focused on refining his game smallly, but it didn't seem like he was concerned about it. He was more talking about how what Cody Burns was stepping up and helping him become better as a receiver, how he was excited to block more into the game. So I think that he's just completely bought in and just being a part of being a leader. Maybe this is his way of leading. So I think it's interesting, but I'm not concerned about it.
Dab, you got anything?
I'm a little concerned, and I'm not trying to. The reason why I'm a little concerned is because he didn't start a day. And there was already an issue this year with him being an Auburn Tiger that he got held out for a quarter. And you remember what Golish said? We're getting his attention. The only way you can get people's attention is take away playing time. He wasn't living up to the standard. That's a little bit – I'm not saying that's what's going on now. I'm saying that that's concerning that he had to start off his Auburn career 3 months in with being disciplined by not getting to start an A-day game. So I'm very careful in treading lightly, making sure that, you know, kind of holding my breath that nothing else that could be a one-time one-off and you move on, but you also say, okay, you don't want it to become a trend, so let's just be careful.
And to be clear, okay, to be clear, in three practices, I've not really seen him drop a pass. I'm not seeing him, like, with a bad attitude. I'm not seeing him, like, not giving a lot of effort. So don't take this in that direction. It's just, I mean, it is what it is. When you hear the coaches talk about players, you heard Cody Burns talk about his players, there's just not a ton of Singleton hype. It's all kind of been, I feel like all fall camp's been around like Koger, Nimrod, and Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair assessment?
It's a very fair assessment, and I hope it's by design.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we know what we have in him. I don't need to publicly try to push him or try to get him to another level. We know what we have. And so let's just focus on some of the others that maybe need a little bit more verbal reinforcement. And also, as you've known, Kyle, on the field, he's not getting a lot of it coached up per se, as Koger and Spencer are in drills when they get pulled aside.
That's very fair.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm not going to read too much into it. I just have stuff in the back of my mind because
it could just be he's good.
And so leave him alone. Leave him alone. Let him do his thing.
He's solid out there. We don't have to. We don't have to worry about him. And sometimes, you know, when you're doing all the right things, always, it's kind of camouflage, I guess. Maybe and maybe you don't get all the hype because you're steady. Every single practice. I get where you're coming from, Dap. That is a concern. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not hearing much. He got suspended for the first quarter of the A-day game. I get it, but it's interesting. It's definitely interesting.
Maybe he just thinks he's got to be all business this right now because of what happened in spring. Maybe he's just trying to put his head down. I mean, we'll obviously know right away. In Baylor, he's supposed to have such a huge role. So if that role is diminished in any way, we'll certainly know why.
I will say this too. I did hear him giving opinion and feedback to the younger wide receivers on particular drills. Hey, don't, you know, do this, do that, that kind of thing. So I did catch that a couple times.
Yeah. What was that? Say that one more time.
I watched him give advice and talk to some of the younger wide receivers during a drill. He was giving them some feedback on how not to do something that they did.
And it could just be, too, like I've seen Brian Williams Jr. get a lot of one-on-one stuff, and he literally goes right after Keyshawn Singleton. So it could just literally be that Keyshawn's doing everything he's supposed to be doing.
Yep.
And it's just not, you know what I mean? It's just business as usual, I guess, with him.
You know what I really like, too? And this is on the same conversation, the wide receivers, that Chaz Nimrod and Deshaun Spencer are rooming together right now.
They are. Yeah.
I love that. I think that is exactly those small little things. Goes back to how we started this conversation. Those are small little things that help streamline that standard.
That to me shows me how much they value Deshaun Spencer and like how much they may want to bring him along quicker because they're pairing him with what I think they view as their number one guy at receiver.
NFL receiver.
Yeah.
When's the last time a freshman receiver at Auburn made an impact? Was it Schwartz and Seth Williams? It's just hard to think of a true freshman coming right into the mix. Cam Coleman, I guess.
But impact.
But that's a no-brainer because he was so hyped and a five-star and all that. But maybe somebody that came in a little bit under the radar that's a freshman that makes more of an impact than anticipated.
I think Seth Williams had more of an impact his freshman year than Cam Coleman did, particularly in big games.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, he was I mean, Cam was banged up his freshman year a little bit, but Seth was a dog, man. We don't talk about Seth.
I would love to have him on teams like this. Yeah, I mean, really.
Golly, he was good.
He just made plays.
He
made
did.
That's saying Eli Stove and Ryan Davis.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Eli Stove, I got to go back and think about. That's back when Ryan Davis was a whole different number.
He was.
And they would hide him behind offensive linemen.
Who was the receiver, Kyle Davis, that was such a stud that made that catch? We had him and Nate Craig Myers, and I thought we were going to have a receiving core for the ages. Both freshmen that came in and just—he
made that catch against Arkansas State.
Yes,
that's one of the top catches I can think of in Auburn. Like when I think about great catches, that's got to be up there. I wish it was not against Arkansas State, but still, unbelievable. I want to switch gears and talk about running backs because there was a very interesting absence on Saturday, and it was Bryson Washington. I've asked a ton of people. I can't get a good read one way or the other, but – there's been the Omar hype train that is off the tracks. I mean, it is, you can't stop it. The brakes are shot. It's not stopping anytime soon. To the point where, Dap, I'm convinced he's number two. Like, there is no competition. He's number two.
Yeah, it makes
maybe 1B.
Yeah, 1B. Well, that whole adage about rotating running backs on each series. So Cobb gets the first series, Mapson's getting the second. I really, really wanted Washington to be that guy. In fact, I wanted him to be 1B. When we went and got him from Baylor, I'm like, this is exactly what Auburn needs. They need another running back in the stable. If Cobb gets a little banged up, Washington can carry you. Kind of a great Big 12 back. And so I started getting a little bit upset and concerned that wasn't emerging because of his health, because of being out of shape. I have no concerns about it anymore when I watch Omar Mapson. Auburn's got RB1B, they got the running back that could take the load off of Cobb if need be to alternate the thunder lightning package, the yin to the yang, whatever you want to say. But Kyle, I want you to specifically say and talk about what you saw with your own eyes in Pass Pro that's a difference maker.
Yeah, so on Saturday, they did a drill that when I was growing up, they called it the Rudy drill, where you put like one guy facing four defenders and the coach is behind the one, and he just points to one of the defenders to charge and you got to block him. And it was a pass protection drill, and it was all your starting linebackers. Like, let me back up. It's not just starting. It was the whole linebacker room. Okay. So that included starters. So there'd be, you know, Melendez, Xavier, all those guys out there. And every running back, every tight end, it was running backs and tight ends doing the blocking. And I feel very fine saying that Omar was the best one of all of them, including the tight ends. There was two times that I saw him took Melendez on, which Melendez won 99% of his reps. Except for there was one rep where Omar stonewalled him. Bryce Diaz, wow. There was a rep where Omar stonewalled him. DeMarcus Riddick, he won a battle against every single linebacker. The only one I did not notice him, he may not have even gotten a chance to do it, but the only one I did not see him go up against was Xavier Atkins. I mean, he was the best running back on that day in pass protection. And to me, that is something that is like, that's the dirty work that you don't doesn't show up on a stat sheet that gets you on the field. Like, that's one of the top things you always hear people say. We can't play him because he can't pass block. He doesn't know how to pick up passes. And if he's in there and all he's doing is running the ball, then everybody's going to know he's just in there to run the ball. I was blown away. And he's a small guy too. So when I say small, he's not long. He doesn't have a lot of length. He's 220 pounds, so he's not small. But from the – just like when you think about pass blocking and, you know, from an offensive line perspective, you want long arms, you want length, length, length. He doesn't have that. But, man, they run into him and they stop. Like, he delivers the blow and they stop. It was very, very impressive.
Love that. Love that. That fired me up.
Christian, do you think it's just like a let's just wait and see, like with the Bryson Washington thing, or like what's your take on that whole deal? Like, could I mean, maybe he's still banged up. Like, maybe he's not 100%.
Christian, you want to talk about what's in the chat?
Yeah, it looks like in the chat there's some people reporting that it looks like maybe he was at a funeral. So
his
maybe
stepfather
that's why he
passed.
That's
okay. But I want people to understand, unless we hear that directly from Auburn, we can't say that. We don't know that. That has to be an official statement that comes out, or somebody that we trust with the Auburn football staff needs to say, oh, by the way, Burnett and Champ are at graduation and Washington's at a funeral. We weren't told that, so therefore – we're not going to report that, or we can't speculate on that. So that's very possible, very feasible. I'm just saying no one has told us that.
Yeah.
Says his mom posted on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's super unfortunate, and that sucks if that's the case.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't necessarily think that the Bryson Washington not being at practice is 1,000,000% related to Omar and how – well, his fall camp's gone, but it was just interesting with the storyline, and I'm glad that potentially we have the reason there. So thank you for updating us in the chat there. With that being said, what does Bryson have to do, man? What does Bryson have to do now? Because I would say he's behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple times they've talked about him with, you know, whether it's his – being out of shape or just not being ready for this type of tempo offense. Obviously it's not the same type of offense that was at Baylor last year. And although he had some success at Baylor, this is a completely different scheme. So it seems like Mapson's above him. We'll see if other running backs are even above him as well. We'll see if you see, you know, I don't know. We'll see more about Alvin Henderson, about Tay Meadows. We'll see if those guys can step up in the scheme. But right now I think it's just getting into the shape you need to, getting into, you know, the good graces of the staff to show that you are, I don't want to use the word be serious about it, but if your body's not where it needs to be, that's the first thing that, you know, you like to assume that maybe you're not being serious about getting to where you need to be. That's the first step. And I was really hoping, I will say this, because of them playing Baylor the first week, I was hoping him to be the breakout star, you know, the start of the season, like how great it would have been, you know, for him to run for 150 plus against his former team, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
I still think he's somebody that's going to emerge as the season goes on. It may be just later than we anticipated is when we're going to get to see the fruits of that labor and how I do think he's going to make an impact and he's going to have a role, and it just may be later in the year than we originally thought. And again, I know watching him in person in that game last year in Waco, I was like, this guy is really, really good. And I'm surprised Auburn is containing him to the point where they are. And I mean, I guess they didn't. I think that when he touched the ball, he did pretty well against us last year. So we'll see. But again, that's good to know if that's the case, but we weren't told anything officially on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talked, you mentioned some other guys that were missing. Champ Anthony graduated on Saturday, which is awesome. Graduated with Brian Batie, if I'm not mistaken, which
I saw that. That's awesome.
What a cool story What a cool story that is. Just everything that he's been through to kind of get that done. Notable other guys that I think that weren't there, like Malik Autry. I don't think we saw Malik Autry. Not really sure what's going on with that. Dap, we mentioned that we didn't see Caleb Harris, but I did end up seeing him later in the practice. So that was fine. And then I think Cody Sigler, I saw him on a stationary bike. I don't think it's anything serious. He was out. He was in full pads. But for the most part, seems like pretty healthy overall. Going into a big week where you're going to culminate this week in a scrimmage. So I'm going to talk about the schedule really quick, and then we're going to talk about what we want to see and what you think we need to see and hear after that scrimmage on Friday. So I think that the guys go back to practice on Monday. We get we get coaches on Tuesday after practice. Then we get a Wednesday viewing period, a Thursday viewing period. Then there's a scrimmage Friday morning that culminates in a press conference with Golish around lunchtime. So that'll obviously be interesting. Dap, week two, what are some big things that you want to hear that kind of culminate in that scrimmage on Friday?
Well, anybody that was being held out just from a precautionary standpoint or just that's not been ruled out, I want to see them back in. That's the first thing, is I want to see people that were not participants that were just being held out precautionary. I want to see them back in. And then I'd like to see significant separation in depth chart and pecking order from an offensive line standpoint, which I think is pretty obvious. Right now, I don't think that there's any mystery as to what that is, but you know, your secondary still has some position battles to win. What's the corner alignment going to look like? Who's moving to slot? Is Champ playing outside corner? Is he playing nickel? Is he playing safety? So if something emerges from the scrimmage, I'd like to just start to hear more about participation and roster depth chart construction, really.
Christian?
I like the depth chart thing. The two deep thing is definitely where I agree as well with that. I'd like to just see more clarity, especially in the secondary. I'd like to see, you know, who's going to be where. Where's Champ Anthony going to be? Are they going to just put him or on every single category? That'd be pretty funny. I think that might actually happen. But yeah, I'd love to see more clarity there. Tight end, you know, too. I want to see tight end. I want to see the two deep on tight end, because I think Arles Boardingham might sneak up to tight end, too.
He's two. He is. I think he's there.
He's there.
It's Jake and him. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he may already be there.
He's a specimen, too. I'm going to just tell you right now, black and white measurables on a roster and sometimes even TV do not do justice.
Yeah.
When you're 10
feet away.
What about
that Michael Jackson? What about the Michael Jackson song, Black or White? Does that do justice?
That does do justice. That was you need to watch the long version with Macaulay Culkin. Don't do yourself short. Just watch a little 3 minute. Watch the whole thing with Norm from Cheers. Clutch.
Yeah. Hey, we missed the super chat here real quick. 10 times said Dabo will be Baylor's coach by Christmas. I don't know. I think Dabo's got a huge buyout, so I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure his is pretty crazy, but
I think they'll have a new coach by Christmas.
I think that is true.
Yeah. By Christmas, they'll definitely have a new coach by Christmas.
Yeah. I think you're right on that one.
I'm going to get my take in just a second. I want to hit this one. Aside from quarterback and running back, two positions of least concern.
Okay.
That's a good one.
I love
linebacker,
it.
Linebacker seems easy.
Yeah. Linebacker and safeties.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Safety, because it's going to be one of four guys.
And I'm fine with whoever. I mean,
and I couldn't care less who it is.
I'm not going to go, oh, that two one's not starting. Guys. I'm going to be like, whatever. I mean, that's great. I mean,
Anquan Fagans, count me in.
Eric Winters, okay. Oh, Caleb Harris.
Caleb Harris, yeah.
Oh, Champ's moving to safety. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm in.
I think safety is the answer, but I think wide receiver is sneaking in there for me, too. I'm learning a lot more about this depth and feeling a lot more confident about it.
Yeah, when you got six dudes.
Yeah.
I mean,
I feel very confident in the first four. Like, in my first four would be Nimrod, Spencer, Koger, and Singleton. I feel like extremely.
I agree 100%.
I'm okay from there. And then after that, like Brian Williams Jr., I think he could be good. Sam Turner, I think he could get healthy and be good.
Neptune.
Neptune.
Yeah, I'm high on Neptune.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe I need to make it five.
Yeah, I'm very high. I'm very high on Neptune.
Can you imagine? I mean, I don't know. I would have to go back and look. Does Golish run four wide receiver sets?
He runs a ton of tight ends.
He uses tight ends more often. Yeah. I don't think he does. I mean, a normal offensive scheme, I don't think he has a lot of four wide receivers, at least in his normal scripting. It looked like it was a lot of tight end play, although you didn't see a lot of target shares for them. But, man, they are super important in his system.
So what's yours, Kyle? What do you want to see?
Least concerned or what I want to see from the scrimmage? You know what I want to see? Yeah. I want to see the offense light it up.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't going to happen.
After the spring, there was a lot of concern that the defense was kind of dominating the offense. I think Golish was quoted recently as saying that Byram's more locked in than he's ever been. And
Dap,
you saw the them doing the layering drill where they were over and under, over a defender, under a defender, which is not easy. Like even in the
NFL,
no pressure situation that he's in, and he's just flawless. I want to see the offense have a day. They need to have a day.
Anytime we watch football, it's such an adage, and it's really one of those things that you hear announcers say all the time. Toughest throw for a quarterback to make is where you drop it over a linebacker and in front of a safety. I get it. It's tough. Other than that deep out with that, that's a tough throw to make.
Yeah.
They were doing a drill where they had GAs with big old cushions, big old pads, basically simulating that drill, and Byram was 4 of 5. Nice. And I'm talking about he dropped it in a freaking syrup bucket. It was beautiful. Over the top, in front of the other.
Syrup bucket's drill. Really small, right?
Very small.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just would have tried to throw it through the pad.
Precise.
Dan Marino it.
Which player has been the biggest we didn't see this coming? Riser?
Spencer for me.
I think it's Spencer. Yeah, I think it's Spencer.
So much so that I'll tell the story for the second time. Kyle Rush in the press box at A-Day turned in his offensive MVP ballot. And I'm like, it's a little soon. And he's like, yeah, but I got to go with this guy. Spencer proceeds to make like two sweet catches. And here's Kyle. Hey, excuse me. Can I get that ballot back? So, yeah, I didn't see it coming.
I'm going to go with Gavin Jenkins.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I like that.
How about you, Christian? I don't even really remember. I mean, I remember the storyline kind of warming up at in the spring. But guys, he goes first in the corner drills, like even ahead of Andre Jordan. Like,
yeah,
I think he might be the number one. I think he might be the number one corner. I'm not joking.
He was grouped up with Champ Anthony too. I saw, which was pretty impressive when they're doing corner drills. It makes you wonder, like, what that rotation will look like. Do they decide to move Pleasant, maybe not give him a lot of corner snaps so he can just focus on being that primary special teamer because that's so important early in the season and not risk an injury back there? And then because they think they have the depth of in the secondary and then go with Jordan and Anthony? Like, it's certainly interesting.
Who's your riser that you didn't see coming, Christian?
It's Spencer. Yeah, Spencer. I'm trying to think of one to be different. I mean, Mapson would probably be the third out of that conversation. But it's definitely Spencer for sure.
I know that people want to focus on the special teams aspect of Pleasant, but let's not forget he won us a football game in the defensive secondary.
He did.
I mean, he completely Arkansas. He won that game. Not only with the pick six, but then another pick. I mean, so we'll see. But if Gaskin beats him out, kudos to not Gaskin, Jenkins. A little slip of the tongue there. If Jenkins beats him out.
Did you say someone's name?
I said his name is Fred Gaskin.
Oh. Yeah.
Then that just shows you how strong and deep secondary truly is.
Yeah, I'm not saying that don't play Pleasant in the secondary, but if you could limit his snaps a little bit and and feel confident because you got Jenkins there, that might be an overall good problem to have for Auburn because you're not risking your X factor on special teams. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha. I'm pretty sure Fred Gaskins wasn't playing safety.
He is. Okay. I meant Jenkins, and I just, yeah.
No, Gaskins. I know. I'm just like going back to kind of give everybody a, like, that's where I've noticed him. I'm looking at my notes right now as we speak.
Other than wide receiver. Oh, go ahead.
No, there was one group. He may be kind of working both. There was one time he was working at corner, but I've gotten him a few times playing safety.
Is secondary the answer here? Other than wide receiver, what is the deepest position that has surprised you, like that is deeper than you expected entering this? Is it secondary?
Percent. Yeah. 1,000,000%.
Saw the linebackers being as deep.
That I didn't see coming. Yeah.
Running backs thought were going to be deep. But yeah. And the other riser that I would have is Zaire a little bit, if I'm saying that right, or Zierer.
Okay.
How do you pronounce that? Is it Wilson Zierer?
I think it's Zierer.
I think it's Zierer. Yeah, Zierer.
I'm hearing a lot of stuff about him, and that's a little bit of a surprise to me. So that's another one that's kind of a fast riser.
Yeah, he was a fast riser in spring, and now he may. I think he's going to be two. He might be your first tackle off the bench.
Right.
He could be your first tackle off the bench if needed on either side, which is awesome.
He's a freshman, right? Yeah.
Yeah. True freshman.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's crazy, man, when you start talking about true freshmen and they've been here for 8 months.
Yeah.
You right. know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, like my mind was, we've already got through like almost the entire 27 class talking about it. And now we got to go back to the true freshman at 26, but it doesn't feel like they're freshmen anymore because of all the recruiting talk we've just did this summer.
Bro, if Corey Wells got here in January, that dude would be one. He would be number one in the middle. He is a monster. Holy cow. Dab, how impressive is he?
Very impressive.
He can't do much right now because he's coming back from injury. But dude he's a beast.
Yep.
Anything else we're looking forward to this week?
No, I think the scrimmage and then what Golish has to say on the back end of it will be – you know, obviously the high point of this week and definitely the anchor going into next week. That's what I'm looking forward to. I think it's me telling and how he reacts.
Yeah, this is the real scrimmage too, because I think this one's going to be this is going to be pretty closed door. And then the next one is the alumni scrimmage, and they don't try to show a ton there. So this is a pretty important one. And you will have had, let's see, seven or eight practices leading up to it. So, and you're already, supposedly, you already got your offense all the way installed. And, you know, obviously, you know where you feel on defense. So, should be a pretty good battle. I wish maybe we can buy one of those VIP packages and just go hang out. It'd be pretty expensive.
I hear you.
It's obviously early in the year and you're more focused on week one, but how important is it to want to hear about how Tristan Tia does in this scrimmage?
I think that
I'm going to say not very.
And not to be a conspiracy theorist guy, Christian, but even if he did really well, no way Auburn releases that because of what that would do as far as
probably
perception.
Good, right?
They'd be like, oh, Byron Brown must have not played well.
Quarterback controversy.
So, yeah.
All of a sudden, the throwing motion videos would probably pop back up on social media.
Auburn fans love the backup quarterback.
They do. But in this scenario and in the scenario last year, at least they have one that's a little seasoned that has taken snaps in a big boy football game. Sure. You know, Daniels had played in 11 and Tia has played in 8. That's invaluable. You've got experience. You're not bringing a kid off the bench that's never played a snap at college football.
No doubt. No doubt.
I think we got some super chat. Yeah, there you go.
A couple of them. Fears the Zaire. I love that.
Fears Zaire. Oh, that's a t-shirt right there.
Congratulations to Zach on the new show with the Patriots, even though Tom Brady is still a cheater.
Yeah, that starts tomorrow. If you want to go check out more of Zach's stuff, it's called Locked On Patriots Hit.
He texted me earlier today to make sure.
Those Locked On Hits are going to be pretty something special.
They sure are. They sure are, Dap.
He texted me earlier today to make sure that we were doing a show. I think he was saving this one. He was saving this one specifically for Zach. He was probably waiting on him to see if Zach would come in so he could drop that. We'll screenshot it
and put it in our group message so you can see it.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. We got you. We got you.
Guys, thank y'all so much for joining. This is so much better than talking about lists or talking about speculation, actually talking about real practice and things that matter. All of it matters, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. Like, dadgummit, we're football season's right around the corner. We're close. Mm-hmm. Christian, thanks for joining us. Dap, thanks for joining us. We will talk again very, very soon, guys. We're out of here.